This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Dr. Paul Hochmeier, a regular contributor to Dr. Oz, Cosmopolitan, CNN, The New York Times, the list goes on and on. And these interviews are from a series he did for Women's Day. The title of that series, now online, is How to Conquer Your 10 Biggest Marriage Fears. We are on the fifth interview of the series. The topic is, you're never first in his life. Dr. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me back, Susan.
So, where do these feelings about not coming first come from? Are they real or are they imagined?
Well, if you have the feelings, they're very real. And I think one of the most infuriating things people can do for us is tell us that our feelings aren't genuine or real. So if you're feeling them, they're real. Where they come from typically is, you know, like most of this stuff comes from our family of origins. And typically we felt invisible in our youth. We felt that we weren't valued, that we weren't recognized. So there's a very strong family of origin connection here.
Okay. Thank you. So what advice do you give someone who comes into your office with the feelings of low self-esteem? I mean, do you say, get a life, or any words to that effect?
Well, no, that's not terribly compassionate. I mean, I basically try to help them focus on themselves. Typically what happens is people externalize all their problems and they say, if my kids would only act right or if my husband would only act right, then all of my problems would be solved and I would feel, be happy, joyous, and free in the world. And so the work is really helping a person get focus on themselves and developing what we call an internal locus of control, which is a sense of mastery and over their own lives, as opposed to subjecting themselves to the whims of the world around them, which is constantly changing and not solid, and quite frankly, as we know, pretty unstable.
Let's get a little specific about these techniques. There was a recent article, this week I read an article in HuffPost about mindfulness meditation as a tool for really getting centered and getting quiet. What are some of the tools that you give to, or you suggest rather, to clients to help them find a core?
Well, I think it's just that. I mean, the simple techniques of telling a patient to look at their feet and when they start to spin out of control in my office, to say, okay, let's get centered. Tell me where your feet are, and focusing their attention on their feet, something concrete and objective. Another good way to do this is to count numbers. You know, numbers are the most linear, most logical system that we have in our universe. So if somebody's feeling out of control, count from 1 to 100 and do that as many times as it takes to reground yourself. So it's really important to refocus our attention, again, on something that's logical and linear, left brain oriented, and that again is on the immediacy of our presence and on, again, something that's very objective and very linear, like a numerical system.
So in part, some of the techniques that are offered up in mindfulness meditation.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Thank you. Now, what if a person is taken for granted and they really do fall to the bottom of their husband's list of priorities? That would make, even using some of these techniques, the clear and present knowledge that you are just not important to your partner or you are not a priority. How do you address that?
Well, again, it's giving a person a sense of agency and giving them a sense of control over their lives and empowering them and recognizing that they are not a deficient person as a result of that. And it's really about empowering. And the way that you do that is, you know, in little steps. One of my favorite metaphors is, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, one bite at a time. So, you know, if you're a woman who's, say, in her 50s, and is kind of now waking up to the fact that her husband's not around and that her concerns are not even secondary. They're probably, not even in his sphere of consciousness. To again, to begin to really empower her as to what it is that she can bring, what gifts that she has in the world, and focusing on those gifts and growing those gifts as opposed to pointing the finger and expecting her husband to be something or someone who he's not.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This has been Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, talking with Dr. Paul Hochmeyer, part of the series on women's challenges within relationships. Our next subject will be relationships and vice. Dr. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Susan.